Thank you, James. If we could have the first slide up, please. And I like the shirt, Malk. Birthday present?
Yes.
Very nice, too. Do you like my tie? Well, thank you. One person does. I thought it was quite trendy, and then somebody told me, oh, it's 70s and 80s style, isn't it? But I was a bit disappointed by that. But anyway, I thought I'd wear a tie. I feel you've got to be free to wear ties, and you've got to be free not to, haven't you? And we don't want to go too far the other way, where we're just free to be scruffy. It's nice to dress up occasionally. And I've ordered an orange tie. I noticed at the funeral it says, bring orange. So if you're around on Thursday, not quite sure where that came from, but bring some orange if we can. Anyway, you can see today what the subject is. I want to talk, of course, on Jesus being alive, Jesus being raised from the dead. And this was the disciples' exclamation, my Lord and my God. And we'll get to the story. So Good Friday was a few days ago. Actually, some of us were here on the Good Friday that we celebrated, and we saw the Passion again. We'll do it next year. It's a film that you don't want to see, but it's a film like it's good to see. Really brings Good Friday into context. Anyway, Good Friday 2,000 years ago, a terrible time. Thomas's hopes and dreams had been dashed in one 24-hour period. His hero, his Messiah, had been arrested, tortured, and executed. He died quite quickly. Sometimes you can be a few days on those crosses when you were crucified. But Jesus died within hours, quite possibly due to the terrible flogging he had endured beforehand. He was almost dead, I wonder, when they put him on the cross. They speared his side. He was dead. And they took the limp body from the cross. They put it in a grave and they sealed it. And they put some Roman soldiers on the tomb to guard it. Then a few days later, he appeared to some of his disciples in a locked room. And we're picking up the story from there. So from John 20, starting at verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, which means twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. With a little bit of shame, I have to acknowledge I didn't even realize it was Palm Sunday last week. I was meeting with pastors this week and they were referring to Holy Week and what they did on Palm Sunday. Of course, we had a wonderful talk from James Catto, anyhow, from Uganda. But we're not good at celebrating specific days and religious festivals as a church. Maybe we should get better, I don't know. But Christmas and Easter do stand out. And I did know it was Easter Sunday today. But Christmas and Easter are Christianity's most important celebrations. Without the birth, of course, the death and resurrection of Jesus could not have taken place. But without the death and resurrection of Jesus, the birth would have been meaningless too. Jesus was born to die. He came to save, and the resurrection of Jesus proves it. Now, a non-Christian professor from London University was asked a question. He was asked, if you could meet any person from the past, and ask just one question: whom would you want to meet, and what would the question be? Professor Joad replied, "I would meet Jesus Christ and ask him the most important question in the world: did you or did you not rise from the dead?" That'd be a good icebreaker, wouldn't it? Who would you like to meet, and what would you ask? Well, I think Professor Joad, whoever he was absolutely right. This is the most important question in the world. Did Jesus rise from the dead or not? And of course, the answer has implications. Some would prefer to think that he didn't rise, because if he did, there's a response that needs to be made. Others are very happy, and most of us here, to know that he did rise, and we've based our life on the fact that Jesus is alive forevermore. But back to Thomas. Now, I think he gets a bit of a bad press. The world over knows him as Doubting Thomas. I think I'd have been in his camp too. He had just seen Jesus punched and beaten up and flogged until almost dead. He just witnessed him being stripped naked and nailed to that cross, with a nail through his hands and one through his feet. He'd probably seen the thieves hanging next to him have their legs broken to speed up their death. But when they came to Jesus, the soldiers realized that he'd already died. So to be sure, the soldier pierces his side right through to the heart as Jesus hung on the cross. And the Bible tells us out poured blood and water. And the medics tell us that that was proof that Jesus had actually died. And now his friends claim to have seen him alive. They must be imagining things. He'd seen the blood. He'd seen the lifeless body. How can a dead person come back to life? As I say, I can understand Thomas's unbelief. I know I would have said exactly the same thing. Unless I can see him, unless I can touch him, unless I can see those nail prints, I'm not convinced. After my dad died, I once thought I saw him cycling up Grosvenor Road. I was so excited, my heart was beating. But of course it wasn't him. It was somebody that looked just like him. And I think Thomas is probably thinking, maybe it's somebody that looks a bit like Jesus, and my friends are just so full of hope, well, despair, but sort of hope that possibly it could be him again. All his disciples forgot what he said. They couldn't understand when he said, "I've got to die." And it certainly never registered that he was going to be raised again, which actually, of course, makes the gospel story so much more authentic. They weren't even expecting a resurrection. And if I'd seen Jesus half beaten to death and crucified, I would want proof. I don't know about you, maybe I'm the only one that thinks they would be lacking faith. I was in Redding, California a few years ago. We visited a church where they have more healings, and I'm told they have more healings because they pray for more people. The same leader of the church that told me that was telling me a story of a young man who'd had his leg amputated. And he'd come for prayer, and he was amputated above the knee. And after prayer, I don't know if it happened in 1 hour or 1 day or 1 week or a month, but after prayer, his leg had grown from where the amputation was down to below the knee. I said, "That's absolutely incredible. Has he not did not finish the job? I mean, has he not got a foot?" And at that time, I don't know the end of the story, he didn't have a foot. But it had grown down from up here down to below the knee. A new knee being part of the process. Now, as I said, I'm a little bit of a Thomas. And I said to the leader, I said, "Well, do you have any before and after photos? You know, could I see a picture of him without his leg and now a picture of him with most of his leg?" And the leader didn't have anything to show me. I mean, he wouldn't have carried them around in his pocket. He was just telling me about the goodness of God and the greatness of God. And I believe God can do that. I believe with all my heart. It doesn't have to stop there either. It could be a complete leg because God's great and he's good and he could do that. But unless I had those photographs, I'm not going to tell you that actually happened. Unless I could actually see the man, I'm not going to tell you, well, I saw him before and I've seen him afterwards, because I want something a little bit more tangible. I'm a bit like Thomas, aren't I? Sorry about that. But I have to confess that I would be and probably am. But maybe some of you are in that camp today when it comes to Jesus coming back to life again. I mean, the story is incredible. It takes some believing. And there's nothing to be ashamed of. If you're thinking exactly the same as I would be thinking, well, it's a great story, but where's the proof? I can understand exactly where you're coming from. It is the most important and incredible fact in the universe. God became man. He was crucified and buried. And he was raised from the dead. No other religion makes such claims. No other human being has made such claims. You see, Jesus wasn't taken by surprise. He came to die. He took the punishment we deserve for our sin so that we might be made right with God. And you have to ask, how can I be so certain that that sacrifice was accepted by God? And the answer is because God raised him from the grave. And that's why it's so important we need to be convinced in our hearts and lives too. I'm a street pastor. There's a few of us in the church here, about 60, 70 across Reading. And we have a little uniform on, street pastor uniform. And on Friday and Saturday nights, we go out in the town. And from 10:30 to 3 or 4 o'clock, I understand it was the other day with Kim. So into the early hours of the morning. And we have some quite interesting conversations. I mean, we're not there to preach. We're there just to help those that need help, whatever state they might be in after been drinking for a few hours. But quite often, people see this pastor and they connect it with church and they want to talk about religion. And they have some very interesting questions. Often it's the university students, the clever guys. Most of them seem to think they're atheists. I'm not sure they've really thought it through. Sorry, guys, but they call themselves an atheist. And they want to talk about creation and evolution. And they want to talk about the question of suffering. I mean, particularly when the wars were on with Afghanistan and Iraq, and some of the people, you know, some of these guys, not the students, but others have come back, and they've seen horrible stuff. Where is God when suffering? And they want to talk about the place of other religions, and they want us to agree that all religions lead to God, and they can't understand how Christianity could think, well, we believe what Jesus said, that he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to the Father. We have some interesting conversations. Sometimes it gets complicated. Sometimes it's so scientific I haven't got a clue what they're talking about. But at the end of the day, I have to say to them, I don't know all about this, but what I do know is that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And by this action, he was declared by God that he was who he was, Son of God and Savior of the world. I can't explain how the world came into being. I can't explain how this. I can't explain all of that, but by faith I believe Jesus Christ was died, was crucified, was buried, and he's raised from the dead, and he's now my Savior. And once we come to, see, that's the most important question. Evolution or creation is secondary. The most important question is Jesus who he said he was? And I believe the resurrection confirms exactly he is who he said he was. And if he is who he said he was, the other questions pale into insignificance. We can work that out in millennia ahead of us because we've decided to acknowledge Jesus as Son of God and Savior of the world. So coming back to our friend Thomas, a week later, Jesus in his resurrection body appears again. I'm going backwards for some reason. No need for keys this time. Wasn't last time either, actually. No need for even doors. He simply appears in the room. And he's heard everything. He's heard all those doubts which are in Thomas's heart. And he calls Thomas over and he says, Thomas, come here. Look at these hands. Can you see those nail prints? Put your finger there. And Thomas put his finger on his hands. And he says, look at this hole in my side. You see that? That's where the spear went, Thomas. Put your hand there. It's real. It's flesh. It's healing up. But that's where the spear went. And he could have carried on. He said, look at my back. He could have said, look at those marks. That's where they flogged me, Thomas. That's what you saw. They're healing up now. Or he could have pointed to the marks on his head where that crown of thorns was rammed down. And he could have said, Thomas, you see those holes? You see those spike marks? That's where they rammed it down. He didn't need to get that far when Thomas saw the nail prints. And when Thomas saw the hole in his side, he just fell on his feet and he bowed down. And he recognized the carpenter from Nazareth, not as the carpenter from Nazareth, his friend that they used to walk along the streets with. He bowed down and said, my Lord and my God. He was immediately convicted of his unbelief and he was convinced. He knew who it really was. This was Jesus, not a ghost, not a figment of imagination, not a hope. This was actually Jesus, and he touched him and felt him, Lord, Master, Savior, King, and even God. And I imagine he got down on his knees and he wept with sadness that he didn't believe before and with joy that it really was him. No more doubting Thomas. He was certain. He was convinced Jesus really did rise from the dead. You see, the grave is really empty. And he rose from the dead, having died for us. And he deserves my love and yours. He deserves my worship and my obedience. He did it for me. He paid the price. Through his death, I can be saved, my sins can be forgiven, and I can have eternal life. It's believed after Pentecost, Thomas went to Iraq, established a church there. Interesting, isn't it? There's still lots of Christians in Iraq. Less than there were since Saddam's day, actually, but lots of Christians there. And he went on to Iran as well, planted churches there. From there, he went to India, possibly even to China. But it was in India where Thomas was martyred for his faith, and he was buried in Mylapore. See, Thomas had seen enough for his whole life to be completely changed. Doubting Thomas became convinced Thomas, became certain Thomas, became one of the disciples, like 11 of the others, who was prepared to die and actually did die for faith. Not because of a myth, not because of hope, but because they knew this man really did rise from the dead. In closing, I just want to come back to our text. Jesus said to Thomas, you've seen the scars, you've seen my hands. Because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us, guys. I'm blessed because I've not touched that hand. But I believe, and you can be blessed too. That's the challenge for us. The evidence is overwhelming. Eminent lawyers have decided, atheist lawyers have decided to look into these facts and to disprove once and for all that Jesus rose from the dead. But as they've looked at the evidence, as they've looked at everything surrounding the stories and the accounts, eminent lawyers have been convinced and left atheism behind and have to acknowledge, the same as Thomas, wow, my Lord and my God, it actually happened, and you are who you say you are. Jesus came back to life, and we had the wonderful privilege of visiting the possible grave that they buried him in. But he was only there for 3 days. No shrine, no tombstone, no sacred bones. They've never found them. Do you know why? It was never there. He's risen from the dead. He's alive forevermore. He was only there for 3 nights, then God raised him up. And once convinced of the resurrection, like Thomas, we have no choice either but to accept he must be God. And he came as a man to suffer. The resurrection means he is who he said he was. It means we, like Thomas, need to surrender our lives to and accept him as our Lord and our God. Amen. Amen. Would you like to stand with me, please? We'll have the band up in a moment or two. Easter is a fantastic celebration. It's all about life. It's all about hope. It's all about victory. Good Friday, that's harsh. Easter Sunday is joyous. And it might be that some of you today, for the first time, are thinking, well, I've been in Thomas's camp all my life, but I'm just beginning to wonder, could it be true? Could it be true? Some of you might need to go and research. I was talking to a friend of mine, now my son-in-law, and I just met him actually, and we were in Uganda at the time, and James was just struggling to believe with miracles and the supernatural. You know, in our Western culture, we don't like to believe that sort of stuff. It's hard to understand. A bit like that bloke with the healing of the leg. The next day, I came back to James. I said, James, forget about whether Jesus walked on the water or not, or fed 5,000 or what. Forget all of that. That doesn't matter. What you've got to work out is, did he rise from the dead? James researched it, gave his life to the Lord a few months later. Married my daughter. But he looked into it and was convinced that Jesus is who he said he was. I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer with me. We can all pray the prayer together. And it might be that for some of you, this is the first time you've prayed the prayer of this type of prayer. And if it is, I'm going to give you an invitation just to give your life to the Lord. There'll be much rejoicing, much celebration in heaven for each and every one that says, I want to find him, find you as my Saviour. So can you pray this prayer with me, please? Jesus, on this day of celebration, I thank you for dying for me. I thank you that you rose again. Your resurrection proves you are who you said you are. Son of God, Saviour, my Lord and my God. Today I give my life to you. Thank you for dying to forgive me of my sin. I receive you as my Lord and Saviour. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a last song, hymn in closing, but I just want to ask, is there anybody here who prayed that prayer, keep going, for the first time? If you'd like to just raise your hand, if you prayed that prayer for the first time and you think, well, I've been Thomas for most of my life, but I believe he died. I believe he was raised.